better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also, hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel if you wish. Miss the first hour? Pretty much all Astros. I feel very Palillo-ish today. Although I don't think he quite took that angle.
No, I mean, that wasn't... No, that's more of a talk about media than it is about the Astros.
Yeah, I would say, and I mean, honestly, I could talk about this forever because, you know, I have been a part of it for a long time. And Lamont brings up a pretty good point. It says, bottom line, McClain should be giving us facts. Jerome Solomon can opine. That was always what it was supposed to be. But then he says, in the main problem, economics with certain publications constricting and expanding job descriptions. That's a big part of it, too, because we wanted guys to get on Twitter. We wanted guys to get on and write for the website. Write me a column. Write me a game story. And in some cases, especially at the smaller levels, you would send one guy and he'd write a game story and he'd write a column and he'd write something else. And yes, that part of that is economics. And part of it is, you know, you're just trying to get the most possible information to the people. But in the end, you're asking people to try to discern who's who and who's actually supposed to do what. And it's not that simple. So... You know, I don't know. I think it's I don't think it's going away. You're going to have a lot more of these. And I also I disagree with WB a little bit. It says, I'm going to side with the reporter here. Verlander has been a whiner for years. Most recent whines were about millionaires having to wait longer to get their millions, juice baseballs, and now this great talent, crappy dude. I don't necessarily agree with that. I actually think I like that he has opinions about stuff. We criticize guys for not saying anything. And yeah. But, you know, and I do think the Astros are the best-run organization in the city by far. This was just...
Oh, certainly.
And it's not even close. And
this is just a mistake.
And when it comes to media relations, I think they're right up there. But this was a bad look, and, you know, it'll blow over, hopefully.
Let me wrap up the other two things I had on the Astros today. One is, well, this is sort of a... I guess a fringe Astros thing, because mostly it affects an Astro, but it doesn't have to do with an Astro. Brandon Lau of the Rays out for the rest of the season. The guy we kind of talked about as the main competition for Yordan Alvarez as Rookie of the Year. Tampa's decided they're going to shut him down for the year. To me, this is basically, unless Yordan Alvarez has some sort of a complete tank for the last month and a half of the season, he's getting that trophy.
I'm gonna put the evil on him. You ready? He's gonna completely tank the rest of the year.
I'm not going there. And then the other news: Ryan Pressly gonna miss 4 to 6 weeks, which means he might not be ready for the playoffs, and that's concerning to me. You know, we talked about how I'm not really super concerned about Carlos Correa and what time he's gonna miss. Ryan Pressly's more concerning because, let's face it, for the last couple months, Osuna's been kind of a guy. Will Harris has been strong.
Yeah.
Although Will Harris hasn't had to pitch in high leverage situations.
Well, he's going to have to now.
And the other guys have all been basically trash. I mean, nobody else has been good. Chris Devinsky might be going to the minor leagues.
They've all had stretches, you know, where they've pitched well or pitched poorly. But the bottom line is, when the Astros have Pressly for the eighth and Osuna for the ninth, and they don't have to stretch those guys beyond that, that's when they're at their best.
Yeah.
And taking Pressly out of that equation is a big loss. You might be able to argue it's a bigger loss than Correa, because the bullpen has been so taxed, because you've had to throw multiple guys with Sanchez only going 2 1/3 the other night. And that's been a problem when they were throwing the Frambers and all those clowns out there, is you were overtaxing your bullpen.
Yeah.
So that's a big loss. Now, for a while there, they were beating everybody 9-1, so the whole Pressly-Osuna thing didn't really matter, but Pressly was out then, too. So that's a loss that I'm a little worried about.
So where does it put you? I mean, the bullpen. I mean, how do the Astros rank as far as bullpen amongst the contending teams right now? I mean, their bullpen is clearly worse than the Yankees, who have one of the best bullpens.
Yeah, but I think
are you concerned like to a point where it's like, man, this could cost them a series?
No, okay. because the one thing that we've seen from them is a willingness to use a starter if they have to in the bullpen. And I think as long as now, if you start getting Greinke hurt, for instance, or Wade Miley gets hurt, or you know you lose another key reliever, which like let's say Will Harris gets hurt, now I'm starting to get worried because whenever you have, and it goes back to what RJ says with cluster injuries in football, you start taking away a couple guys out of that bullpen, you lose somebody out of the rotation, so that means you have to take somebody else out of the bullpen. That was the thing you were bitching about the whole first couple months of the season is you had Peacock and McHugh in there, and you couldn't use them in the bullpen. So it doesn't worry me until you have three or four injuries like that, because every team's going to go through this, and certainly the Yankees have already gone through more injuries than I think every other contender combined. But no, it's not. I'm not worried about losing a series. I'm not worried about it being a huge blow to their playoff chances, but it is a blow. And you'd like to have him back and healthy because, you know, if that's, you'd probably only ask for one inning out of him in a key situation in the playoffs. But you feel pretty good that he's going to get you that inning.
Yeah. I'm looking at, bullpen war for this season so far, and the Astros are actually pretty solid with the. I mean, they've got a war of four, their bullpen combined, like relief pitchers combined, which places them ninth in baseball. So that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Here's the problem. These are numbers 1 through 6. Yankees, Rays, Twins, Indians, Athletics, Red Sox. Basically, every team that's going to make the playoffs with you. I mean,
well, the Astros, not all of those are making the playoffs.
Not all of them. Oh, well, yeah. There's six of them, so Astros are making the playoffs, so one of them for sure isn't. But I mean, a good chunk of those teams are going to make it. But
that's just one aspect of the game, too.
And
the Astros last night.
You wouldn't have expected the Astros to go into the AL playoffs with the worst bullpen in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, but I think the difference between the worst bullpen in the playoffs and the best is not going to be that much. And I don't think that's going to be your deciding factor. And for the most part, it's going to be how Astros bats do against those other bullpens. Yeah. Because that's where when they've been good and legitimate contenders, historically, they beat the crap out of other teams' bullpens. So that's what's going to have to happen. You're going to have to start swinging the bats a little bit. But no, I mean, to me, you can make your bullpen better by moving a starter. You can make your bullpen better.
But the Astros, I mean, what starter?
Well, depends. Maybe you're only using three in the playoffs. And if you are, you can put Miley back there, and he can give you innings. You're not looking for him to close. I mean, you're going to be closing with Osuna for the most part. You can mix and match. That's the beauty of the playoffs. That's why Verlander pitched in relief.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. You can do stuff like that, and I think it mitigates a bad bullpen. And I don't know that they're a bad bullpen. They're just not as good as the other ones, but I don't know that any of these teams are so good in the pen that I'm like, oh, God, you got no chance when you get to the eighth inning.
And it's easy to do that, like, once you get to a World Series situation.
Right.
And we saw Arizona. I mean, Arizona, when they beat the Yankees, like, 2001, they basically just used two pitchers.
Like when the Twins won. It was Burt Blyleven and Frank Viola. And
right.
That was it. And they won a World Series that
way. Well, when you're in the World Series and you can say we're all in right now, it's easy. But when you're saying we got two more series to go after this, you don't want to burn out your top arms because those guys are not used to it.
Everybody does it, though. And the whole thing is you're trying to get to the World Series. If you have to fire every gun you got to get there, you do it, and then you worry about the World Series when you get there. That's why we see a lot of guys who are fantastic pitchers all year long. By the time they get there and they start getting beat up,
yeah,
you know, they have been overused, and that's okay. I mean, the idea is to get you there. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Fred, do you want to save some money?
Who doesn't
on your
want
home us? Insurance? You've got another home you're buying.
Yeah, if.
You're going to need insurance on that place.
Yeah, you know what John Granato would say? Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Guys, if you own your home and you could use an extra $870, listen up and do what I say. Get your phone, text the word money to 232323. They will ask for your address. You'll send that back to them, and then they're going to send you a quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And I don't know what you're paying now. Chances are good you don't know what you're paying now for home insurance. But the average customer this year is saving over $870 with TGS, some up to around $4,000, which means there's some who aren't saving with TGS. But you might as well check it out. Doesn't cost you anything. Just, you know, figure it out. Figure out if there's some money sitting there for you. Used to take a long time to get these quotes. TGS, they do it quick, and they do you right. You don't even need to wait for your renewal. So you let's say you just renewed with your old company. They don't care. They're going to take care of all that hassle and paperwork. So you can just sit back and rake. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and start saving now with TGS Insurance.
This
is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN
97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A couple things from the Twitterverse. Ryan says, y'all just wait till the Houston Roughnecks are the best run organization in Houston.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Go next, go.
I mean, we could argue right now, really all that they've done is come out and said, we're called the Roughnecks.
And June Jones is our coach.
And hired June Jones. They may be the best run organization. They hired a coach with a losing record as a professional.
Hey, he was good in college. This will be somewhere in between.
Yeah, they called themselves the Roughnecks. And they went with a red, white, and blue color scheme, which was, I mean, really innovative. They might be the best run organization. You're right. They're playing their games at the Cougars Field. What's it called? TDECU?
We call that TDECU Stadium or Tadeku.
They got to come up with a better name for that thing. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, they played a bunch of money, so.
I know. But that's just a bad name. Just call it.
It should have a little duck on it.
They should call it the Deck or something. I don't know. It's got TDECU Stadium is ridiculous. Yeah. I think that when you say the Astros are the best run organization, the bar is set pretty low. I mean,
no, that's true. Listen, the Rockets are perennially a playoff team. There's a lot of teams that would kill for that. So I mean, that's not a bad organization. And I'm really curious to see because I think Tillman is an upgraded owner over what Les was the last few years. So it'll be interesting to see how they do, whether that burns things up or whether it makes them better. The Texans have just been what they are, which is a very average franchise, and they do try to control everything, and it is frustrating, but it's also kind of fun because we don't have to put up with their crap, really. Well, what's the worst they could do? Oh, well, we're not going to give you a credential? Fine, I'll sit at home and write the same damn column. I got no problem with it because it's going to be my opinion on the game, not what Bill O'Brien said afterwards. And Lamont says, basically, Fred's trying to tell the general public are dumbasses. No, what I'm saying is most people are lazy and don't have time to go and try to figure out what a person's job is supposed to be. And I mean, are you really going to sit there? And this is why, I think a lot of people just don't understand. You're really going to sit there and try to figure out what John McClain's job is supposed to be versus Jerome Solomon's job versus, I mean, that's asking too much. It really is. I mean, everybody's busy. And that's why you have so many one sentence takes and so many of these pick your points out that and blanket statement things. It's because people don't have time to think for themselves.
Random question, but when we're talking about having the best run organizations and what are the worst runs, let's say the Astros could go on, like the Astros could be essentially like the 1990s 2000 Yankees for the next 10 years. But in return, the Rockets were basically like the Timberwolves and the Texans were the Cleveland Browns of the last 15, 20 years, like for that entire 10-year span. So you've got like two complete joke franchises, but one that's going to win like multiple championships, maybe four or five in a 10-year run. Would you take that trade?
Are you telling me it has to be baseball?
No. I mean, let's say that if I said the Texans can be the Patriots for 10 years.
Yeah, I would much rather have that because football, because it's one game a week and it's...
But the Astros have to be the 2013 Astros for 10 straight years.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm not picking on the Astros. It's just, to me, football is so much more interesting. It's so much more because each game's so important.
Yeah.
But frankly, you know, to me, the Astros won a world championship, man, and they'd never done it before. Whatever they do next, it's not going to be as much fun as the first one.
No.
So how about let the other guys have one now?
Well, because the other guys aren't as well run as the Astros, and they don't deserve it.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, if it were up to me, if I could pick one, well, it'd be University of Houston football. But if I could pick one thing.
I don't have that. The genie doesn't have those powers.
Well, then you need a better genie. you need to up your genie game, man. But, no, it would be the Texans. But even then, I don't need a team to be the Patriots. I mean, that's so rare.
It would be nice, though.
Well, that's the thing. It's nice rooting for a team like, that's really good, and you know they have a chance to win it. I'll settle for that. I don't need them to win five World Series. I just need them to be in the hunt every year and maybe pull off another one. That'd be pretty good. But, I mean, I think those guys are – the Patriots are so damn good that it's boring.
Yeah.
If you're a Boston fan, they win everything. Boston fan wins everything. How excited can they be?
But don't you kind of want that?
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't it be fun?
Everybody'd love to do that for a while, but you know, it's at what point is it – you know, when do you lose the thrill?
I don't know, but because like the Astros, I mean, Astro fan is already spoiled. I'm just going to put this out there.
Every fan is spoiled. That's why they should be supporters, not fans.
The Astros fans already believe like, imagine, you know, you saying Carlos Correa is not that important or George Springer. If you let George Springer walk, who's going to play center field? And I'm like, well, I mean, you can find some free agent. Maybe he's not as good as George Springer. But do you have to have an A-plus guy at every position? And they've been so spoiled with what they've had the last couple years that they expect it to be like I said, the 90s Yankees. Every year you're running out this team that's like a super team. My thought is once these guys all have to get paid, the likelihood that they all are on the same team is pretty slim. But I think that fans are already spoiled with success. And I think that Boston is lucky because their fans are spoiled with success and almost to the point where, I mean, the Red Sox right now, would you say the Red Sox are having a bad season or are they having a bad season by Red Sox standards?
They're having a disappointing season.
I mean, that's fair.
Because they're coming off a championship. You would expect them to be at least be in the mix, which they're not right now.
Now, imagine that. You're a team that's seven games over .500. And it's like, what's going on with these guys? I mean, what a weird – like, we talked about this – we talk about it every year when win totals come out, and the Yankees are – like, anytime they're near 81 or 81.5, it's like, the Yankees haven't had a losing season since Derek Jeter was drafted. They're spoiled. I mean, imagine being a team that never has to go through those – oh, my God, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Rockets are kind of that. The Rockets don't have years where they're, you know, picking fifth, fourth, third in the draft, which maybe they should.
Well, and that's the thing, and that'll be another discussion after we see what happens with the year of Russell Westbrook. At some point, you may want to just say, hey, we got a full-on go 76er here for a few years.
In the NBA and the NFL particularly, I would much rather either be, like what the Rockets have been the last couple years, very competitive, you know, Western Conference Finals. I mean, that's good. Or just be awful. Because being in the middle where they were for a long time, T-Mac and those.
That was the worst.
That's purgatory. You don't want to be there.
Just outside the lottery pick.
Yeah.
And the thing with them is, with basketball, though, you don't have to. Like NFL, you really kind of need to build most of your team through the draft and augment. But with basketball, because one player can be so impactful.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to do that if you can go out and get Russell Westbrooks and guys like that. That those guys are going to be impactful. And getting back to the guy who tweeted us about us controlling the media, he clarified his tweet, and I want to read it because it's correct in a sense, but it's also again mixing totally mixing up perceptions. It says, you read certain tweets and messages, you ban people on Twitter, your ratings will be lower if you read them all or certain ones that say the show sucks. First off, no, our ratings wouldn't be any lower because I like to pick on people who do that sometimes.
And we've never held people out who say who don't like the show. Yeah. We've taken calls from people who don't like the show.
Yeah, I just read your tweet, so that ought to tell you something. But the reality is, yes.
And also, we're not the media.
Well, we're not. I mean, we're a form of media, but yeah. We're not.
But we're not the news media by any stretch.
And we're also not newsmakers, which is what the teams are. And because they're newsmakers, they have a responsibility to the media. The only time that it would come up, all right, I'll give you a purely hypothetical situation. John Granato and I get into a fist fight.
Okay.
Outside.
What color belt were you in Taekwondo?
I was brown. But that was also 30 years ago.
Oof.
And Granado's a handsome man.
How many boards could you break?
I could break one.
One?
One. Pretty thick board, but
I've seen 8-year-olds get a black belt in Taekwondo. How did you not get that?
Because I didn't start till I was like 15. And I did it for
Pathetic.
3 years.
Pathetic.
I always wanted to go back and get it, but now I'm too old. But let's say that happened. A bunch of people saw it. And now David Barron's going to write about it.
Okay.
And if David Barron writes that... Well, we don't have any say over what he writes.
Local programming fought.
Local programming had an altercation. And it may turn out that, you know, okay, yeah, it was a legitimate fight. Or it may also be that we were just shoving each other, just goofing off. And if he reports that, then I don't have any control over that message.
Right.
Now, what we'll do is we'll issue a statement.
Yep.
And then they'll comment on the statement. But that's the difference, is we're not out there doing that every day. We're doing a show, and yes, we are controlling what's on the show because we make it, you know, that's what...
Well, it's our job.
It is our job.
We decide what the show's product
is. It's just like it's AJ's job to decide what, you know, what the programming should be for the entire station. It's my job to decide what goes on Sports Map and what doesn't. Those are totally different things. And I don't expect everybody to understand it because it's just not...
Because you're smarter than everybody
else.
No,
I'm not saying I'm smarter than everybody else. That's not true. There's a lot of things that people know a hell of a lot more than me about. And that's why, I mean, think about how often I've said, like, hey, somebody out there explain to us what this is. Because there's a lot of people who are smarter about a lot of things. And a lot of them listen to this show. Did that yesterday with something. Can't remember what it was. Hey, have you gotten any farther on the boys yet?
No.
Yellowstone, one episode left. That looks like it's going to be a really good final episode.
Okay.
But you got to get done with the boys first.
Yeah, I can do one at a time right now.
Because I've forgotten about all the stuff I wanted to talk to you about.
Sorry.
Aaron will remember. All right. Man, can we get off sports when we come back and do something fun?
No, I need to talk about Zeke Elliott.
Fine, we'll do Zeke Elliott when we come back. But hey, guys, I'm going to tell you about something that can be fun, and that's revitalizing your outdoor living area with custom style and quality. That's what you get from Allied Outdoor Solutions. They can beautify your backyard with custom outdoor kitchens, patio covers, fire features. And, guys, call the professionals at Allied Outdoor Solutions to get ready. 713-465-0400. They can renovate your fading pool deck, grayed out patio, or outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay. And the carved stone's fantastic. So if you just want to replace what you've already got, it gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less. And with multiple layers of defense, carved stone is a slip-resistant surface. And Allied Outdoor Solutions stands behind their carved stone with a 7-year warranty. Allied can help you figure out how to hang on to your hard-earned cash longer with several monthly payment options. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Stop by and check them out. The Allied Outdoor Solutions showroom is on I-10 in the Beltway. Or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or call for a risk-free estimate at 713-465-0400, 713-465-0400.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz with some good examples of being stuck in purgatory. So we mentioned the Atlanta Hawks. They had a lot of wins for a long time and a lot of winning seasons. And just, my thought on that particular hypothetical, if once every 10 years you play for a championship and win every other one, you're way ahead of the curve.
That's true.
And people don't realize that. I mean, yeah. 10 years is a long-ass time. But
the problem is, I mean, this city just went through over a 20-year span.
Yeah.
Where they didn't even get a chance to play for one. Which, no, none of their franchises did, which is odd.
Which is, 2005, that's not...
Oh, that's true. They did play for one.
Yeah. But that's not unusual. I mean, that's the thing. When you look at the Patriots, when was the last time the Cowboys played for anything meaningful? And that's one of your glamour organizations.
No, but the Mavericks won a title.
The Mavericks did.
The Rangers, they played for title. I mean, that's...
But again, that's probably above average.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that the Houston was below average for a while.
Well... Once every 30 years would be average, pretty much.
Winning one every 30 years, I would take that, yeah. But that you're talking
about... that's one more in my lifetime. I think I'd like to see more than
but
that.
But you're talking about three different organizations.
Right.
Ideally, you'd like to see...
Well, four if you count the Oilers.
Right. You'd like to see one every 30 years per organization.
Right.
The Rockets, they were just like, we're good for a while.
Yeah, they got their two. And you know, the Astros will get one more, and they'll be like, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
Tag, you're it, Texans. All right.
Yeah, you've been it.
Somebody mentioned the Dallas Stars won a cup also, but that was like way
long. It's been in the last 30 years, though.
Has it?
Yeah.
I thought it was early 90s, man.
No, because in the early 90s, they were still the North Stars.
I don't know. I think they moved a lot. I'm going to go look it up now. Tell you what, they could win it this year. I like what they did in the offseason, and that's a tease ahead to my NHL preview in 2 months. So, all right, let's get to Zeke Elliott since we're on this.
Okay. Ezekiel Elliott, they won in 1999, Dallas Stars.
So that would have been...
20 years ago, now.
Okay, so that's outside of my range that you can claim it.
What?
20 years.
Okay. Well, you're saying that they won one every 30 years.
Well, yeah, I know, but actually 21, because that's the life range of a human being who can drink. So after 21 years, if you haven't won anything, you don't get to count it.
Okay, that's fair. The Cowboys have, at least according to Ed Werder, made a healthy offer to Zeke Elliott that would make him, at minimum, the second highest paid running back in the NFL. The Cowboys are looking at what Le'Veon Bell made. He got $52.5 million with $35 guaranteed. Then Gurley got $60 million with $45 million guaranteed. And the thing that really jumped out at me at this is Clarence Hill, who works in Dallas. I don't even know who's he work for. Does he work for the Morning News?
I think he's Morning News, or at least he used to be. That's another thing. It's hard to keep track anymore.
Yeah. Let's just pretend he's Dallas Morning News. But Clarence Hill Jr., someone said, will Zeke accept being the second highest paid player or second highest paid running back? Clarence Hill Jr. said, I wouldn't if I were him. What? On what earth is it offensive to be offered the second most money for a running back in the NFL? And let me throw a couple numbers at you. The last two seasons, Zeke Elliott has scored 13 touchdowns. Well, that's not fair. I'll count in his receiving touchdowns as well. So he scored 18 touchdowns in the last 2 years.
That's good.
That's strong. I wouldn't be upset about it. Todd Gurley scored 40 in the last 2 years. Let's throw one more thing into the mix. Todd Gurley hasn't been suspended for conduct. He hasn't been investigated for other conduct. The Rams have never had to go to Capitol Hill to testify on Todd Gurley's behalf. Todd Gurley is not a gigantic pain in the ass. Todd Gurley's not pulling women's breasts out at St. Patrick's Day parades. He's been basically a model citizen. So I don't understand why being offered just under what Todd Gurley is making would somehow be a slap in the face to Zeke Elliott. That's ridiculous thinking in my mind. And especially Zeke Elliott trying to negotiate a year before he's even supposed to. To me, that's a very generous offer the Cowboys have made, if that's true, if that's to be believed.
If it's true, now part...
Now, Ed Warder's not... we're not talking about a guy who's got a reputation for missing on a bunch of stuff.
No, but he's also getting his information from the Cowboys, and it's very easy... Because there's... You have to realize where some of these guys are going to get for their sources. Cowboys could easily want to be floating that out there. So that it makes... So people respond exactly the way you did. It's like, what the hell is Zeke Elliott thinking? And
Clarence Hill works for the Star-Telegram, by the
way. Okay. I think he used to be Morning News at one point.
Probably.
But, so, yeah, if that's true, but you think his agent's going to...
I mean, is it...
You think his agent's going to say, oh, no, I'm okay with him being the second highest paid guy?
He should be.
He should be, but is that what agents do?
I don't know. I mean... The agents should be out there to get as much money as they can for their guy. We both know that the shelf life for a running back is less than the average NFL player, right?
Right.
So if they're offering him that now, and he doesn't have to go into next year on a lesser money contract, isn't he maximizing his long-term earnings if they offer him this now? To me,
no, I listen, I'm with you. I agree with you 100%.
The agent's job should be to get as much money as they can over the course of a career for their player. And it starts with the Cowboys being generous enough to offer money that they don't have to a year before they should.
A lot of people bringing up the fact that Todd Gurley also has to pay state income tax. So
that's true.
So if you pay him the same as Todd Gurley, he's making significantly more money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope they get it done because I'm in a fantasy draft Saturday, and right where I'm picking is probably where I'm going to have to make the Zeke Elliott decision.
What are you at, 4 or 5?
7.
Oh, well, you'll be lucky if you have to make that decision.
Because if he's there, it's no decision.
Yeah.
So, I kind of hope that the rhetoric keeps up for a few more days and that, oh, no, he's not coming in, and then I get to draft him. That's the plan.
I had the 5th pick. I didn't think he would get to me. And somebody took Todd Gurley, who, I think there's legit injury concerns right now with him. I think, could Todd Gurley end up being what he was for the first half of last year? Sure.
Yeah, you better handcuff him, though.
Yeah, I would. But, yeah, I basically had to choose. My decision came down to Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, or DeAndre Hopkins in a PPR league. And I think Zeke Elliott has the chance to be the best player.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, well, let's roll the dice.
I've been doing some mocks and he's fallen to that spot a few times because people are scared that he's going to Le'Veon Bell you.
Well, but here's the deal. When you're drafting in fantasy, you don't have to worry about guys getting in trouble off the field. And I mean, if let's say he gets suspended for the rest of the year, well, that sucks for you, but you didn't give him a giant pile of guaranteed money.
Yeah, you just go, you go pick up his backup. Draft.
Yeah,
you pick up his backup.
Alfred Morris.
Yep.
And I mean, it sucks, but you're also not out $50 million. So that's the big difference to me. And I feel like I can't imagine, even as an agent, I can't imagine going, you know what? Like, everyone says he wants bragging rights. He wants to be able to say he's the highest paid. When do guys go do that? Like, if Zeke Elliott got that contract and said, went to Twitter, hey guys, I'm the highest paid running back in the NFL. Have you ever seen someone do that? I never see them bragging about being the highest paid.
There's guys who would, though. Antonio Brown. Ugh. You don't think he'd get on there? That guy's so weird.
Maybe, but God, that'd be so off-putting for a guy to do that. Yeah, I can't imagine.
I think it's agents bragging that they got their guy the highest number, and then they can go to the next guy and say, hey, look, I made him the highest paid guy. I can make you the highest paid guy.
I think the deal to me is sometimes your guy doesn't deserve to be the highest paid guy. And I think the fact that the Cowboys are willing, I mean, because obviously the Cowboys giving him that kind of money, particularly if there's a big guaranteed number, would be, they would be bold to do that. Because there's obvious risk involved with him. Here's the other question. What if they said, okay, your total number, we're going to make your total number higher than the 60 million. We're going to give you 62 million. Todd Gurley got 60 over 4 years. We'll give you 62, but your guaranteed money is 25. Gurley's was 45. Zeke Elliott taking that?
I don't know. I'm not in the room with him and his agent. So I don't know what he's going to take. I don't know what's going to make him happy. But, I mean, that's a good it's a good question. I don't think any of us know the answer to it.
I know.
So,
I mean, I know the Cowboys need him. And Zeke knows the Cowboys need him.
And 850 made the same point I did about the agents. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. I have a gem of the day for you that is interesting. There might be a business we can build out of this gem of the day, AJ.
Okay.
We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. We got late hits tonight. Patrick Creighton, Abdul Foster. I don't know if Jason will be back tonight. He was sick yesterday.
What?
Yeah. So hopefully he'll be there too. But listen to a little bit of those guys on the way home. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, this story is supposed to be about people kind of being scuzzy, but I'm looking at it in a different way. I'm seeing a business opportunity for us out of this.
Okay.
Have you heard of dog fishing?
No.
Apparently, this is when online daters pose with pets that don't belong to them.
Okay.
And apparently, there's a story about this Avery Chang, and she would always swipe right on guys who had adorable dog photos.
That's a good move.
Yeah. Well, come to find out, almost all of them don't really have the dogs. They're using that to get the woman to swipe right. And she mentions about three guys, and including one who wound up apologizing for displaying a corgi that wasn't his.
I have one, a real one.
I know you have a real one. Listen, I got a really cute Dalmatian. You have a corgi. They're young. So, guys, if you're going to do this, which I don't, you know, I don't endorse you doing that, but for the right price, I'd let you pose with...
You can borrow the dog, yeah.
We'll be happy to, you know, I think we should start a business here, posewithourdog.com. And you know what? I think they would do really well.
It's actually a good idea.
An online dating...
Because my dog is not getting me laid. In fact, it typically does the opposite. Like, if anything, it pisses my wife off to the point where I'm not getting sex because of the dog.
Yeah, hello. So somebody else should be able to get it.
Yeah.
We can rotate the dogs so that, you know, not, I mean, plus we can, there's things you can do to make it look like a different corgi. I can make mine look like a different Dalmatian so that you guys can use the same dogs. It's all good. Erica Etten, an online dating coach in Washington, says, stop borrowing dogs. She advises her clients to curate profiles. Says, it's just odd when you're using someone else's dog online and it seems like you're trying too hard. Guys have to try hard. That's life.
Yeah.
Women don't have to try hard. If any woman wants a guy, she just basically says, hey, I want you. Boom, done. Guys have to work our asses off. So if it means having a dog, I'm team guy here. More than happy to rent out the dog for photo session. We're not going to be cheap in this business,
right?
I mean, that's the thing. We're trying to help you out, and if you can afford to get on a dating site, then you can afford to pay us a significant amount for the dogs. But that's just a thought. That's what I got out of it. Posable Pooches, somebody said.
That's a good idea.
That's a great name. There you go. Posablepooches.com. Oh, man.
You're a brilliant man.
I just try to find ways to make...
What's a good price?
Well, I guess it depends on how many profiles you're going to do. We need to charge by the profile. And we also have to...
I would say charge by the picture.
Well, yeah, that too. But we're going to have to limit it a little bit because we don't want 25 guys with your dog and 25 guys with my dog.
Yeah.
Because women are, especially if they're all in
the same
area.
They'll catch
on. Yeah. We don't want them catching on. If this is going to work, you know, it's got to be very exclusive. So the price is going to be higher. I'm going to say $500 a session.
Oh, okay. That's a lot of money.
It's going to be worth it.
Okay. What, I mean...
But see, that's the thing.
That should come with a first date dog rental. I'm the consumer, I at least want to have that dog there when she comes over for Netflix the first time.
No. You got it wrong. Here's the answer. First date. I'm so sad. My dog Sunshine passed away yesterday.
Oh, that's a good move.
See?
What if we start small? Because you like taking your dog out to bars and breweries.
Yeah.
So do I. Okay. AJ, I don't know if you take your dog to 11 Below or anything like
no,
that.
No, I do
but
not.
The app will just tell you where we are on a Saturday. You
I'm
show up. You pay my tab. I'll let you take two pictures with my dog at the brewery. That way you look like you're an outgoing and fun-loving person who has a dog. And just pick up my tab for all the beer I drink that day.
See, and you know, you might drink $500 worth of beer, so that might work. I always think bigger. You know, if we overprice... Then we'll bring the price down. But we also want it to be kind of exclusive. And we can use some other blitzers who have dogs can help participate so we can spread around the number of dogs. And it'll be a premium price if you want one of ours.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So there you go. I think that's it. Now, if you're a woman on here and you see our dogs, you'll know you don't have to go out with them. All right. That was your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
You might have some of that.
It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Just trying to help us all make a little extra money, AJ. That's what I do.
That's right. You know who else does that? My computer career. If you're at a job that you don't love, you're at a job that's not paying you enough, my computer career is looking to fix that for you. They could start you off in a new career in a hurry. How about 4 months? Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take the free career evaluation today, and get on your path to being an IT pro. You don't need any computer experience or training. They don't care about that. Helping people start an IT career, that's what they do. And it's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. More than a school, too. They're going to help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students after graduation. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes start soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's MyComputerCareer.edu.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate,